So you can have already a picture of the verse. Huh? We are in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. It's the 10:13.
Chapter 10.
Verse 12. So translation. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sati, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita has been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony, and then he made friends with the monkey to deliver Sita Devi. So I repeat the verse again. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. So here we are in the chapter called The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and we have actually a very fast overview in few verses of what is happening in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. We can get really a lot of details in Ramayana, but here Srimad Bhagavatam is giving an overview, is giving like, just in that verse, we have like 5 or 6 pastimes itself that are compact in this verse. And I would like to take today this example of Jatayu, that actually I feel it's very relevant for our life. I was looking yesterday a little bit in the folio what we could find about Jatayu, and I find actually quite a lot of nice details that explain how the story took place. And I would like first part of the lecture to tell a little bit that story, and then to go a little bit about into the teaching of the Leela itself. So I have learned that Jatayu was a vulture. I don't know if I pronounce it properly. It's one of those big birds that have the neck a little bit out. They are non-veg birds and very big birds. We see them sometimes in movies, in the desert. They are flying around dead corpse and they go to eat them. So Jatayu was one of those big birds. He was actually the king of the vultures, and he was the nephew of Garuda. He had actually very good association with Garuda, and thereby he became a devotee. That's the beginning of the story of Jatayu. He was also a good friend of King Dasharath, the father of Lord Ramachandra. Now, when Lord Ramachandra went to the forest with Lakshman and Sita Devi, he met Jatayu there. And Jatayu was actually lying on the ground at that time, and Ramachandra thought, oh, that might be a Rakshasa. So he immediately took his bow and arrow and was ready to kill Jatayu directly in the beginning. But then Jatayu revealed his identity to Lord Ramachandra and said, no, don't kill me. I am a friend of your father, Dasharath, and I want to do seva. I want to do service, and the service I want to do is to follow you everywhere you go and to be ready to protect Sita. If you are going to hunt with Lakshman or anything happened, I will always be there next to Sita to protect her. So as they were roaming in the forest, Jatayu was all the time there to protect Mother Sita. That was actually his desire. That was his service. Now we know a little bit the story when Ravana came disguised as a deer and that was not Ravana.
Maricha.
Huh?
Maricha.
Who?
Maricha.
Marichi? Maricha?
Maricha.
Maricha.
It was just a verse before.
Okay. Maricha came in the disguise of the deer, and Sita became so attracted by that deer and asked Lord Ramachandra to capture that deer, and then Lord Ramachandra went for that, and then he told Lakshman, you please stay with Sita while I go and take care of that deer. And then finally Ramachandra did not come, and Sita told Lakshman, now you go, you have to take care of Ram, you have to protect Ram. And anyway, Lakshman went and met this Lakshman Rekha, this cycle of protection for Sita Devi, and tell her, you don't go out of this cycle. And then when both of them were gone, Ravana came in the disguise of a sannyasi and asked some help from Sita, and somehow she went out of the cycle and Ravana captured her and went in the sky. Now when Ravana was in the sky with Sita Devi, Jatayu saw what was happening. He was on a big high tree and immediately flew up to try to defend Sita Devi. And Sita Devi called Jatayu and said, don't try to fight against this demon, this Ravana. You will not make it. Just go directly to Lord Ramachandra and tell him what is happening. But Jatayu knew that's my service to protect Sita. I need to protect her directly. And although Ravana was much more powerful, Jatayu fought really to his best abilities. He was, while flying toward Ravana, he was speaking harsh words to Ravana. He was saying, I will let go Sita immediately, I will kill you, you will fall from the sky like a ripe fruit. he was actually proudly announcing that he will kill Ravana. And there was quite a big fight. I mean, Jatayu really gave his best. He could destroy the chariot of Ravana and kill the driver of the chariot. But finally, Ravana was more powerful and cut his two wings, and Jatayu fell on the floor. So when Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman came back, when the deer was killed, they could not find Sita, and they became very alarmed. Where is Sita? And they started to look. And then they saw Jatayu, who was on the floor. And again, they did not see him from close. He was actually bathing into his own blood. So Ramachandra immediately again took his bow and his sharp arrow like a razor and were ready to kill this Rakshasa, they thought. But then they saw it was Jatayu, and they came to him. And Jatayu then explained what was happening, explained in which direction Ravana went. Jatayu saw how Ramachandra was afflicted about the loss of Sita, and he started to even try to appease Ramachandra's sorrow. And he told him, this time, this precise time when Ravana came to pick up Sita is special astrological time. And in that particular frame of time, it is said that whoever loses a treasure will find it again. So don't worry, you will find Sita. It's beautiful how Jatayu, almost dying on the floor, still try to appease Ramachandra's sorrow. And then after a short discussion with Lord Ramachandra, Jatayu vomited blood, closed his eyes, chanted Ram, Ram, Ram. His head fell on the ground and his last breath came out of his body, and Jatayu left. And Lord Ramachandra just cried, because he was a friend, he was his servant, Jatayu was his deep, trusted servant, his intimate servant. So Ramachandra just cried, and Ramachandra saw Jatayu like his own father, because he was the friend of Dasharatha. Ramachandra decided to do himself the all funeral ceremonies for Jatayu, and he knew that he would bring Jatayu out of this world of birth and death. He told Jatayu, "Now you are back in my abode. Don't worry. I take full care of you, although you are now leaving." So I feel it's a very nice story of a fight between a weak and a very strong. And although Jatayu was on the side of the Lord, he actually got defeated by the strong armies, by the armies of evil, if we can say like this. But still he fought. Still he decided to go against, to protect his Lord. What an amazing concept. The devotee who wanted to protect the Lord who is the all-powerful. And such a deep relationship was there between Jatayu and between the Lord. Such deep relationship had been developed between the servant and the Lord. It's a very moving example. And I found out that Srila Prabhupada speak in a lecture about this aspect of the devotee protecting the Lord. Hare Krishna. Welcome. I almost died of laughter yesterday. Yes. So, here is Prabhupada's comment in one lecture about Jatayu. Jatayu was a bird and fought with Ravana. Ravana was kidnapping Sita Devi, and Jatayu, the bird, he was going, flying. He attacked him on the sky. "Who are you? Why you are taking away Sita? I shall fight with you." So Ravana was very powerful. Jatayu was defeated, but he fought. That is service. Never mind defeat. Similarly, we have to fight. Those who are opposing Krishna consciousness movement, we have to fight with them to our best capacity. Never mind if we are defeated. That is also service. Krishna sees the service. Defeat or victory depend on Krishna, but fighting must be there. Karmani evadikaras te ma phaleshu kadachana. That is the meaning. You have to work for Krishna sincerely, intelligently, and victory or defeat, it doesn't matter. Just like Jatayu was defeated fighting with Ravana, his wings were cut off. Ravana was very strong, and Lord Ramachandra, he did his last funeral ceremonies because he was a devotee. So here we hear about this fight, how Prabhupada is taking this aspect of Jatayu, although he was much more weak than Ravana, but still he fought for his Lord. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned here that that's the mood a devotee should have, and that's a mood of service toward the Lord, that he should fight against whoever is actually going against a spiritual life or against the Lord himself. And victory or defeat doesn't matter so much. So I think it's a very interesting example. Of course, we don't have so often this service of protecting the Lord against I would say atheism, which is the mainstream that is going against the Lord. But sometimes it happened that we hear also about Prabhupada hard words toward Mayavad, and sometimes even strong examples in big pandals. I'm not so clear anymore, but I think there was once a pandal, and Prabhupada was supposed to speak first, so he gave his lecture, and then a big Mayavadi had to come and sit on the Vyasasan, and Prabhupada did not give him the Vyasasan. He said, "No, I don't go away from the Vyasasan. You sit on the floor. If you sit lower, if you want to speak your nonsense." But something like this, I'm not 100% sure. But Prabhupada was also doing this fight against, and this is actually how one becomes friend with the Lord, when one decides to protect the Lord, when one is actually standing front of opposition to protect the Lord, or to actually protect the Lord. It's good, but protect the Lord. I don't find any better word than this. I was speaking yesterday evening about that to my roommate, Uddhava, and he said, "Yeah, and then what about the jihad? the Muslim fight against whatever is not connected to Allah, and is that what we need to do?" And it was interesting talk, but of course we know that fanaticism is not really appropriate for Krishna consciousness, and actually we don't reject other worship of God as long as they are authorized through other religion. We accept them also, and we see that the same God through different features or through different visions, but that's actually we don't go in the opposition of that. But I think this point of being honest about ourselves and being honest of being devotees of Lord Krishna is actually very important. And we hear about the story of Mukunda Datta in Chaitanya Charitamrita, who was actually not, when he will be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will say, you are the Supreme Lord. But when he will be in association with Mayavadis, he will say, God has no form. He will not stand for what he was really. And I see also in the life of the devotees, sometimes we might be in a position when we might also compromise who we really are, that we are devotees of Lord Krishna. And I can see, for example, in this Yoga Expo, we don't want to present ourselves directly as devotee of Krishna. We are not all dressed we are not dressed in dhoti and wearing tilak, or we are actually hiding a little bit our identity of a devotee. And it was interesting, one lady came to our book stand and she was starting to speak, and she said, and where are you? What's the place where you are? And I was there, oops, what should I say now? And then I say, we are devotee of Lord Krishna, and we have a temple here in Zurich. And she knew, actually. She had obviously recognized us. and I felt I could have tried to hide it, but it was coming as a question, and I had to stand for my spiritual identity. I had to stand there for Krishna consciousness. And I think sometimes in the life also, especially when we are living outside of the temple, sometimes devotee will have some type of fear, some type of anxiety. How will people treat me if they know that I'm a devotee? Will I lose my friends if they know that I'm a devotee? And I think it's very important in our relationship with Krishna that we are honest, and that we are able to tell them the truth, that we stand for Krishna, that we don't just for the sake of being loved by others, that we say, no, no, actually, I'm just with them because they are kind or because there is good food, but actually I don't believe so much in those things. So I think there it's something relevant for our life, that we stand for who we actually are. And I remember in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I was called to be in the army, but I was actually chanting japa, I was trying to cook prasadam for the soldiers, and I was trying somehow to preach Krishna consciousness as good as I could. And I found a man who was totally atheistic, and we had really a long debate, and I was really fighting for the cause, for telling him that Krishna is a person. And anyway, I just remember after this discussion, I felt so Krishna conscious. I felt so blissful and so happy inside of me. And I felt Krishna was very satisfied of me. I had tried to defend him. I have tried to protect him against those type of discussion. And I think it's very, very pleasing to the Lord when we have the honesty to stand for a devotee of Krishna, front of the whole world, front of everyone outside. So that was a little bit the first point I wanted to make. Now I would like to go to the other point that Prabhupada mentioned in this small excerpt of his lecture. And the point is, never mind if there is defeat. And this also I feel very good. Everything is in the hand of the Lord. If it will work out or not, don't worry about that. Just go on and do your service. And it's actually connected to the fruit of our action, huh? To the result of our action. Often we might be doubtful, should I do this action or not? Will it bring enough fruits? Does it make sense or not? But here Krishna is saying, don't mind, even if you don't make it fully, even if it doesn't work so well, just go on and just do it. And we were discussing with a devotee yesterday about the Yoga Expo in general. Does it make sense? Such endeavor, such a strong, and maybe we even face defeat. Maybe even we don't get enough Lakshmi to pay all the things. So we were discussing on that level, and I was a little bit pessimistic, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't think it's really helping much. And then this person was working in the counter where they have the ticket, and he told me of a young boy, maybe 14 years old, and his mother that came on Sunday, and they asked, oh, is that evening the concert? And they had to say, no, actually the concert will not be here, it will be somewhere else later. And both the mother and the child felt so sad that they could not come for the mantra concert. And he said, I was just amazed how they wanted to be there, how they were happy that we could do that. And I also had an amazing experience on Saturday evening during the concert. I somehow had to go to the toilet in between two songs. And I met a person, and the person came to me and he said, who are you? What do you mean? And he said, yeah, all you singing, I know you, but I don't know what are your name, I don't know from where you come, but I'm sure I know you. Who are you? And he was saying to me, I feel cold in my back. You know, he was getting these symptoms. And I told him, well, we are devotee of the Lord, we are devotee of Lord Krishna, we are chanting his glories. And I said, don't worry, it's normal what you are feeling. It's a good sign that the Lord is being glorified. And I could feel that was a person that had previous experience with the devotees and had maybe in a previous life, or and now suddenly he was again in contact. And also through the prasadam, through so many so many actions we are doing in this yoga expo, this one-to-one discussion with people, with the storytelling, and then we understand, although it doesn't seem to be such a big a way to spread Krishna consciousness, but something is happening, and most of all, it's actually Krishna who is taking care of the result. That's actually Krishna who can give this devotion in the heart of the people. That's Krishna who can arrange everything. Jai Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadat Devi Ki Jai. Some days ago I was reading in Bhagavad Gita and I was finding this place where Krishna speaks in the second chapter about being detached from the fruit of our action. And this, I think, is also very, very relevant in our spiritual life. If you are not sure if you are attached to the fruit of your result or not, just take a pile of book and go in the street and do book distribution. And then you will immediately see how strong one is attached to the result of his action. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is giving very nice tool about, he's making so clear, and I guess throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita it comes again through that point of the necessity of being detached of the fruit of our action. Gain or victory, everything is in the hand of the Lord. You just act, you just do your service. And in the verse, what was it, verse 49, Krishna is saying something very interesting. He said that those who are attached to the fruit of the result, they are actually misers. And I I was really surprised to hear that, such strong words. What is the German word?
Geizhals.
Wow. So he's saying there that those who are attached to the fruit of their action, they are misers. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, he's saying that those who are misers about this fruit of their action, they become more and more entangled in material life. And then Srila Prabhupada says something very amazing. He's saying that unless one acts in Krishna consciousness, he's doing abominable actions. And when you read that, you feel, oh my God, such a strong words. I mean, you don't act for Krishna and your actions are abominable. And then Prabhupada says, yeah, it's abominable because it bounds you to the karmic reaction. So it's not abominable because it's for others or it's because of others. It's because of you. It's abominable because it bound you to the reincarnation cycle. It's binding you to suffering. Therefore, it's abominable. So actually, only the actions in Krishna consciousness, the action who are given to Krishna with this freedom, Krishna, you do whatever you want with that. That's you who decide of the fruit of the action. Then one is not bound into this karmic cycle. And that's such a good point. And that's a point of giving oneself. When one gives all his action or reaction that might come, if one gives all his reaction that might come from one's duty or one's action, it's almost like giving oneself to the Lord. And that's actually Jatayu. Jatayu was giving his life. He was giving himself to protect Sita, to protect, to do his service. And wow, that's so inspiring. This offering of oneself to the Lord. And this, I think, is such a good key also in our practical Krishna consciousness. While we are practicing our service, and especially when we are chanting japa, or when we are chanting kirtan, or whatever we are doing, that we meditate, I'm offering myself to you, my Lord. I belong to you. My mind, which is so restless, is now yours. My body is yours. I belong to you. Please now take over control over me. Please, you control my life. I'm now offering myself totally to you. Ah, so beautiful. It's really a beautiful meditation. Although one might be full of attachment, might be not so ready to offer himself like this to the Lord, but just the thought or just the prayer, my dear Lord, I belong to you. Please do whatever you want with me. It's so, so relieving. It's so, so beautiful. Some years ago, I was in Radhakund with Satchinandana Swami, and we were ready to take our bath. And then Maharaj looked at me and said, so what is your consciousness when you take the bath? What will you think about when you take your bath? So I was thinking, okay, a good question. What should I pray for? And then Maharaj said, when you take your bath, just meditate. I offer myself to you. I am now yours, Srimati Radharani. Please accept me. Please take over my life. And I think that's a very, very beautiful meditation in our Krishna consciousness. And while we practice, when we chant japa, just try to meditate in that way. I belong to you. My mind belongs to you. Please take over. Please take over. Please take me to you. That's really powerful. And there is beautiful prayers in the Sanat Kumar Samhita that I just would like to read to you. There are just like five prayers that are in that mood of offering oneself to the Lord. Samsara shananagato putramitra griyakulat goptaro meyuvam eva prapana bayabanjano. One should pray. This is actually a discussion between Lord Shiva and Narada Muni, I think. Is anyone familiar with the work? I think it's a discussion between the two. So Lord Shiva is advising one should pray, O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Please rescue me from the trouble born from children, friend, home. Please break into pieces the fear of your surrendered devotee. O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, today I place at your feet myself and everything I possess, either in this life or in the next. I am the home of all offenses. I have abandoned all spiritual duties. I have no shelter. O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, O my lords, please become my shelter. O Master of Radha, I am yours. O Beloved of Lord Krishna, I am yours. I offer to both of you my thought, words and deeds. You both are the goal of my life. O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, you are like two great ocean of mercy. Please be merciful to me. I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. Please engage me, a sinner and an offender, in your service. I would like to invite you also to pray. So just we will take one of those verses and please just repeat after me. But try to not repeat blindly, but to just repeat with your heart. Just try to put feeling into those sentences. O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, today I place at your lotus feet myself and everything I possess, either in this life or in the next. O Shishi, Radha and Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Please rescue me from the trouble born from children, friend and home. Please break into pieces the fears of your surrendered devotee. So that's very, very recommended in our devotional life, to hear such a type of prayer, to pray in that way, to offer oneself to the Lord, to ask for Him to come and take over my life, almost to be haunted by the Lord, so that He take over everything and He's just guiding us. I mean, that's my I like to meditate in that way. That's maybe a little extreme. Anyway, I would like now to speak a little of the last part of this lecture. I would like to come again in this fighting spirit. And we were speaking about fighting against atheism. And I would like to speak about maybe fighting against the atheistic mentality inside of our heart. Like the fight against our own anattas, or the fight against our own apathy in the Krishna consciousness. And I would like to speak specially about this apathy, this type of laziness in our spiritual life. And we can say, we can see, all of us are practicing Krishna consciousness since years, but how much is our practice alive? How much are we practicing with our full heart? And how much, or in the other side, how much is our practice on the automatic pilot, without life, and without actually this most important item of eagerness in our spiritual life? And without this eagerness, it is like apathy. It is like we are doing, but we are not 100% there. We are not really there. And I think that's very, very essential point in our spiritual life. It is said that the practice of Krishna consciousness is working, but not only is working, but is bringing amazing results. Now, if in our spiritual life we feel that there are not so much results coming out, that means there is a little problem. Something is not done properly. And Satchinandana Swami, quoting Manashiksha, was saying that there are three components into our practice that need to be there in order that it works. And if those three components are not there, the process itself will not really work. Would you like to know about those three components?
Yes.
Good. So the first is faith. One needs to have faith that the process works. The second one is to avoid aparad, to not make aparad. And the third one is that one really wants Krishna. That one is aware, I'm doing that because I want to become Krishna conscious. One needs to be aware of that. If some of those three components are not there, our spiritual life will be slow. If we have those three components, our spiritual life will go very fast. And I think I mentioned it already in Munich. I had an interesting experience when we were driving to the Munich Yoga Expo with Satchinandana Swami. I was driving and chanting japa, and Maharaj said, let's sing Lord Nisingadev's prayer. So he started to sing, and I was chanting japa, and I was thinking, oh, I want to keep on chanting japa now. And while he was chanting Nisingadev prayer, I was trying to chant in the mind. And that's, I was totally into the automatic. I had lost the goal of Krishna consciousness. I was just into automatic practice. And when I was chanting in the mind, Maharaj started to repeat the word of the song. Like, Keshavadrita, Keshavadrita, Keshavadrita. Then I felt, oh my God, maybe he's aware that I'm chanting in my mind. So I just stopped that and he kept on singing. And then I just chastised myself. I thought, my God, so foolish you are. You are just trying to finish your quota of rounds, and your guru is chanting the prayer, and you don't get the opportunity. So I just chastised my mind, I threw all that aside, And I started to chant Nishingade prayer, being there. And then while praying, while being there with the prayer, I felt, my God, I'm not praying to be Krishna conscious. I'm practicing, but I'm not asking the Lord for His help. I'm not begging so that Krishna appear in my life. I'm not begging for Krishna to be there. And I felt, yeah, I'm really missing the point. I'm really caught into external practices, and my heart is not there. I have lost the goal of what I want to reach. I have lost the goal. And this is such an essential point in our Krishna consciousness. And if we don't have that goal clear in our mind, then our service will be very often apathic. I don't know if it's English to say like this, but this apathy will be there. We are practicing, but there is no enthusiasm. So I think that's very important. We are checking our hearts while we are doing the practice. Where do I want to go? What is the goal of my practice? Do I want Krishna? Or am I just externally doing a practice, but my heart is not there? So I would like to end this lecture now by telling you a Leela of Lord Krishna which is connected with this apathy. We know Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that all the demons in Krishna Leela, they are actually connected to some type of anattas. And there is one demon which is connected to this anatta of being apathic in our life. Is that true? We can say like this, to be apathic? And this is the demon called Shakatasura. Shakatasura. This demon came in Vrindavan. He was sent by Kamsa when Krishna was very young. Krishna had just killed Putana. Krishna was three months old, I think. And actually, Krishna was there, and everyone would come to see the child. Everyone was so attracted by the child, so they would go during the day to visit baby Krishna. They will say, let's go and see this boy which has a lotus navel. Huh? And then they will go and see this beautiful child with black complexion and dark around the eyes. And they will smile at him, and Krishna will smile at them, and Krishna will extend his hand so that they will pick him up, that they will take him in his arms. And as long as they will not pick him up, baby Krishna will cry. And as soon as the devotees will take Krishna in their arm, Krishna will laugh. He was so beautiful. Sometimes they will take away the blanket that was covering Krishna just to touch the baby. And after some time, baby Krishna made it to turn himself around and to be on his two hands and two knees and started to crawl. And even to crawl out of the house. And for that auspicious time, the Brajvasis, headed by Mother Yasoda, decided to make a ceremony for that, to make a big ceremony for the pleasure of Krishna. Like, Krishna, you did it, now we want to reward you by making a very nice ceremony. So they invited a lot of Brahmanas, all the Brajvasis, friends were invited. Even Mother Yasoda thought, so many guests will come, maybe I need to have some guards to guard that everything will be alright and that no thief will come in the house. So Yasoda asked few of the elderly gopis to be in front of the door and watch out who is coming in. And the gopis were laughing with each other. They were thinking, even if a thief come in, Krishna will still his mind, he will not be able to steal anything. So all those elderly lady of Braj came with beautiful clothes, beautiful decoration. Everything was very festive. Some bhajan, some devotees were singing bhajan. The brahmanas was there, and they started to give charity and worship the brahmanas. And Rohini remembers Vasudev, and she thought, oh, I also have to give cows in charity. And then after some time, Mother Yasoda saw she was carrying Krishna, that Krishna was becoming tired. So she decided, I will put him into the bed. So she went into her own bed and put Krishna on her own bed and lay down next to him until he will fall asleep. And when Krishna fell asleep, she took Krishna and she put him into a very special cradle. I think cradle, do we say? That was not a cradle that was touching the earth directly, but that was suspended under a cart. And it was almost like a hammock. That was a beautiful cradle with decoration, and Mother Yasoda put it, baby Krishna, on this cradle and went back to take care of the guests and serve them and worship them. And the bhajan sound was going in all directions. Everything was very, very festive. Now, after some time, a demon who was actually in a ghost form, if you can say that, he did not have any body. He had been cursed in his previous life. He was doing so much trouble, he was giving so much trouble to saints, that the saints curse him, okay, you don't know how to use your body, you will not have any body anymore. You will be like a ghost. So this Shakatasura, in this form of ghost, came around the baby, and he was sent by Kamsa, so he wanted to kill Krishna. And he knew Putana disguised herself, but she was killed. So better I don't take a disguised form. Better I take another path. And he decided, I will go in that cart, and then I will arrange for this cart to crash over Krishna or to kill Krishna to some ways. So the ghost entered the cart. And when the ghost entered the cart started to sink into the floor. And the wheel became like tilted, like a side. And at that time, Krishna started to cry. Krishna started to cry for the milk of his mother. He wanted to attract the attention of Yasoda to come. But the bhajan was so loud that Yasoda could not hear anything. So when the cart sank like this, it became at the proper height for Krishna's lotus feet to just kick the cart. And when this tender feet of Krishna kicked the cart started to fly like a bird, and just just went in the sky and turned around and collapsed. And all, there was a lot of pots and spoons and things on the cart that just trembled down on the floor and make such intense noise. And at that time, Shakatasura was freed, was totally sent back to I don't know exactly where, but was actually killed, we could say in that way. And when the Brajvasi heard that sound of the pots falling on the floor and the chariot breaking down, their heart just stopped. And they thought, Krishna, what is happening? They all ran there to see, and they found Krishna safe. Nothing had fallen on his body, and they embraced him and were so happy that everything was done, that Krishna was saved. And the children that were there explained what had happened. And they say, please don't, I don't know the English word. Like, don't scold? Yes. Scold. Don't scold Krishna for that. He just wanted some milk, and he just kicked his feet, and this happened. But nobody could actually understand, believe actually the children. They thought, oh, that's just children talks, something else must have happened. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave a very interesting comment on that pastimes. He said, these pastimes show that Krishna is the supreme form of God. Because in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna had to take the form of Nrisingadev to kill Hiranyakashipu. In the pastimes of Vamanadev, Krishna is to take this form of Vamanadev to take those big steps. But in these pastimes, Krishna did not have to assume any other form to kill the demon. Just with his two soft feet could kill the demon. That shows that the form of Krishna is the original form of Godhead. It's a very, very nice point. Yeah, there are many more details on these pastimes. I'm a little bit working on that now, but they are not fresh into my mind. And we are also coming to 9 o'clock. I think we should stop here. But by hearing those pastimes, it will help us. That pastimes in particular is there to help our apathy, to help us to regain enthusiasm in our practice, and especially in the practice of chanting the holy name. We should be very, very careful that we don't become a chronical spaced out devotees, that we just become used to be spaced out in our chanting, but that we really endeavor with enthusiasm to be able to be with Krishna in our chanting. And we can endeavor, Hare Krishna, I want to focus my mind. But we can also endeavor a lot by praying to the Lord. And this is the most efficient technique, to just pray, to just long for Krishna to appear in our chanting. We are calling him. That's a call. So our chanting, we should be really connected with that mood. We are calling with Krishna, and to not allow ourselves to chant 16 rounds without hearing a name. That's we really need to work on that, and to wake up our enthusiasm to have good chanting. The chanting is our 95% of our progress is connected to the chanting. That's really the time we should not be apathetic, the time we should fight, the time we should give ourselves fully into the practice. So I think I will stop here. If you have any questions or any comments.
I'm experiencing some particular apathy right now. But my question was going to be something surrounding that. But the pastime that you shared perhaps will have its own natural effect, having heard it. But still, there's some I don't know if that is sufficient, you know. I guess maybe the faith everything is there. I just have to retrace what you've already said, and then have more effort to apply that to But I was wanting you to somehow like spoon feed me something else. Perhaps I should then just actually say thank you. Not ask something new, but just reflect on what you've already said.
I mean, for sure, there is the association of devotee, which is necessary for us to have this enthusiasm into our spiritual life. Yeah?
I have now, actually. I find, with all of these things meant to benefit our spiritual life, my mind is such that still it, like, going to Mangalarti, then there's some enthusiasm, will I get to lead the kirtan? And then, I think, but that's not the reason to go. And then if I'm asked, then, very nice, important. If I'm not asked, then, this is, why am I here? And then to each thing associating with devotees, there's always something which my mind is trying to enjoy.
That's okay. That's okay.
And it becomes very, even like waking up, I didn't wake up early. My alarm went off, but I was, and I fell back asleep, and I woke up again. And I thought, now I'm in a private room. Now I'm not waking up. Is it only that if there's someone else that then I can say, oh, look, he is sleeping still. Then I'm willing to get up. But independently, I'm not so eager. It has to always be someone who's... but like how when the exact processes for becoming free from these things, where somehow it is that very same process is attacking our spiritual progress because of the mind.
Yeah, I mean it's normal, this tendency of taking the fruits for ourselves or to enjoy what we are our service. It's deep inside the heart of every living entity. That's natural. One in the beginning one do not care much about that, but later one know that one have to work on those issues in order to really progress. Yeah, it's a gradual thing, but I think already when you become aware of that and you don't feel it's good, and then you can pray, then you can say, Krishna, I want to do that just for you now. I don't care. You can chastise a little bit the mind. That's actually a way. When we hear, we should bite our mind with feet and shoes. It's not on the physical level, but it's like you can chastise the mind inside and, hey, well, no, this no way, and things like this, and you will see whenever you can do this service just for Krishna, you will derive such a pleasure out of it. That's not you who generate the pleasure, but that's Krishna's mercy who come in you. And that's actually when you are on the Madhyam Adhikari stage. On the Kanishtha Adhikari, you do what you like to do, and you do that for Krishna. But on the Madhyam stage, you do whatever is necessary, and you are more into this vision of I want to do it for Krishna. I don't want to take credit for myself. Also, to feel oneself to be the instrument, it's very helpful when one has to lead kirtan or things like this, or take a prominent position to meditate. I'm just instrument of my Lord. So it's, there was this amazing story that and that's also very much connected with this lecture today of a devotee who did like for 40 years a lot of tapasya, and then after 40 years the Lord manifest in front of him and said, okay, now you can ask me for a boon. And this devotee said, a boon. Let me think for a while that I ask a good boon. And while he's thinking, Mother Earth come. And Mother Earth said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I get a little credit of that boon? Because I was supporting that man, that devotee, during all this time. So the man said, yeah, a little credit, it's okay. I mean, I can give you. And then a tree came. And the tree said, I was giving you shade. Without me, you would not have done. I like also a little credit. And then the water come. Without drinking, you would not have been able. And then the sun and all the elements come. And at the end, he has almost no credit in him anymore. And then Krishna asked, but what did you do? And then Krishna said, actually, what you really did is that you were crying for me. Your crying for me was really what you really did inside of you. And then that's a helper, that all those external stuff, the way we will be able to sing, how our voice is, or how the instruments will be, they are not nothing to do with our credit. That had been taught by us, by somebody else, that the nice quality of the instruments. And so you can take away all those credits that you put to yourself, because that's they are not true. And then what remains is crying for Krishna, this true crying from the soul. So it's good to meditate that one do not have much credit to take for himself. That's illusion to try to get those credits. That's stealing. That's stealing. That do not belong to us, and we want to take for ourselves. So like this. And just to end, for this enthusiasm, to reawake this enthusiasm, traveling to India is something that's very helpful. Srila Prabhupada was saying that to go to the holy dharma, one will develop the desire to go back to Godhead.
Mm.
And this, there we get a lot of enthusiasm for our spiritual life. And Prabhupada was saying to go maybe 2 times a year. Why not? In India? Huh? Or Gopuri in Vajranastami. So we can do only half and go once a year at least. But it's very, very helpful, very necessary to go to India to get recharged and to revive this enthusiasm and this goal, what I really want in my life. So I don't want to make it too long. You wanted to say something? You wanted to say something, Sebastian? No. Okay. So, Karantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.